is a gentleman who for many years has stood up. In fact, he went to the U.S. Supreme Court and won a case. He'll tell you about that. He stood up on multiple occasions against multiple enemies of our republic. Here he is. Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me. Let's do housekeeping first. Everybody over here, come and join the crowd. Let's get together. Let's show ABC, NBC, CBS that we're together. Come over here as much as we can. There's lots of room. If you can over here, there's lots of room to sit down over here. I need to see your strength and feel your strength to see your eyes and feel the spirit of freedom that's at this place. I want to thank Oath Keepers. We've recently been married. when I was sheriff in Arizona, I kept my oath. And it cost me my job. Who cares? So what? I got another one. Got enough. All right, I love this, how this looks. This looks really powerful. Yeah, thank you so much for that. And I also want to thank Ed Vieira and everybody who made this event possible. This is the first time in my life that I've been to Lexington. And I honor the men that are here today that have defended our country, the veterans of war that Janet Napolitano is afraid of. You can be on my team any day. I love you and honor you and thank you for your service. There's some very fundamental things that have brought us here together, and it's the issue of freedom. And I want every peace officer in this country to know and understand that you're personally and morally responsible for keeping your oath of office. And there's no excuses for you either. And my new book explains all of that. The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And it's all about keeping your oath of office and also the case that I won at the United States Supreme Court in 1997. And I filed a lawsuit while I was still sheriff. And I filed the lawsuit against the Bill Clinton administration. And so you might say that I was the only person in history to sue Bill Clinton on a non-sexual matter. But there was something very fundamental that every peace officer in this country needs to remember. Every member of the military needs to remember. That we are part of government. And after that famous part of the Declaration of Independence, where it talks about that we're all created equal and that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, chief among those life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then what's the next principle involved? It says why we have government. And it says strictly and succinctly that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That's your job. As a peace officer, as a sheriff, as a deputy sheriff, as a member of the military. And every deputy on my department was required to keep a pocket constitution and Declaration of Independence right there. That we're required to take an oath. Why do we take the oath? It's required by the Constitution itself. Article 6 in the U.S. Constitution states clearly, the senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers. Sheriffs and peace officers are part of the executive branch. We're the executors of the law, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not only are we required to take an oath to the Constitution, we're required to follow the Constitution. Without advocating any of that to anyone else. My moral judgment was my own. I work by, for, and of the people to do just that. I have promised them that I will protect and defend their constitutional rights. Okay? Now, in this amazing book, page one, now anybody can read this. It's really short, so you can read it. Any cop can read it while he eats a donut. That's fine. But Thomas Jefferson on page one, very first page. When all government shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks provided and would become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated, the one that started here. So we have King George III all over again. Who can we depend on today to protect us from venal and oppressive government? How about the people who have promised to do that? Your sheriff, your chief of police, your rookie cop. And might this, if you stand for the Constitution and keep your word, might it threaten your job? Who cares? Keep your word. To know something that came right from the United States Supreme Court. This was my decision. This is quoted in this decision. I resurrected this. This booklet is irrefutable, undisputable evidence that the sheriff not only has the responsibility and duty, but he's already given his word that he will protect you from tyranny. And it goes like this, again, quoting from the United States Supreme Court, Justice Scalia writing for the majority in Mack versus U.S., the great innovation of this design, or this government, was that our citizens would have two political capacities, one state and one federal, each protected from incursion by the other.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now get this. The local or municipal authorities form distinct and independent portions of the supremacy. You see, the federal government thinks they're supreme. They read the supremacy clause wrong, very wrong. It's proved in this book. They are wrong. The supremacy clause doesn't say the federal government's supreme. It says the Constitution is supreme. That's a huge difference. This separation, I'm quoting Scalia and James Madison all over again. This separation of the two spheres is one of the Constitution's structural protections of liberty. The separation of the two spheres of state and local governments between the feds. And the 10th Amendment is what we won this case on. And the 10th Amendment basically tells the federal government this. If we forgot anything, you can't do that either. Again, quoting from the United States Supreme Court, and you can tell why I wrote this book, hence a double security arises to the rights of the people. The different governments will control each other at the same time that each will be controlled by itself. Isn't that amazing? So what happens? Who can we depend on when the federal government refuses to control itself? State and local authorities. How about those who promised in God's name to uphold and defend and obey and preserve the United States Constitution? You think we should depend on them for protection?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I really think so. Now what does real briefly, what does a constitutional sheriff look like? I have to tell you an incident that occurred to a hero of mine. In 1959, she was arrested because she wouldn't get to the back of the bus. Her name was Rosa Parks. I always wanted to shake her hand before she died, and I didn't get that opportunity, but I honor her today because she stood against stupid
laws.
Now, when the bus driver, called, stopped the bus and called on the payphone to the sheriff, a deputy came and arrested Rosa Parks, took her to the police station, took her to the sheriff's office, fingerprinted her, took her picture, and put her in jail. She was bailed out pretty soon afterwards, but anyway, she went to jail, not because of a tradition, but because of a law that even at that time was justified by our own United States Supreme Court. They were all wrong. The Supreme Court has been wrong lots of times. On mine, they were right. On this case, they were right. So we support about that. But this time on Rosa Parks' issues, they were totally wrong. But what would a constitutional sheriff do when that call came in? The sheriff would hear the call himself and say, "Deputy, I'm going to take this call," because he wants to set the proper example for all his deputies. So he goes and meets the bus driver over there on Elm Street, wherever it was, in Montgomery, Alabama. And he says, "Mrs. Parks, what's the problem here?" And she goes, "I'm not giving my seat. I can sit here. I have the right to sit here." And he goes, "Mrs. Parks, you're right." And he shakes her hand. And he says, "Do you mind if I sit next to you?" And he says, where are you getting off?
Yeah.
And she says, "Down here, about another couple of steps on Elm Street." He says, "Do you mind if I accompany you as you get off the bus to make sure you do so safely? Make sure nobody's throwing rocks. And on our way home, would you like to stop by the all-white restaurant and get a few burgers for you and your husband?" And he makes sure that he does, and that she's safe. And he takes her home, and he makes sure that she's safe. And why? He's violating the law? No. He violated a statute to uphold the law. The supreme law of the land. And a constitutional sheriff who keeps his oath of office, who is a real and true oath keeper, does exactly that. And then he goes to her home and he shakes hands with Mr. Parks. And he says, "We're going to give you extra patrol tonight because your wife took a little stand tonight and there might be some people mad at her." And he asks Mr. Parks, "Is your shotgun loaded? Make sure that it is. And make sure you call us if you need some extra manpower." And so what does the constitutional officer do today? Well, he protects Rosa Parks, the gun owner. He protects Rosa Parks, the victim of the IRS. He protects Rosa Parks, the tax protester. He protects and defends Rosa Parks, the medical marijuana person. And he protects people who simply want to be left alone. And he knows and understands that. And what do we have in this country's recent history when sheriffs abdicate their authority to the federal government? We have Randy Weaver with his wife and son who are dead because those bullets came from federal snipers. And we have people at Waco who are burned alive. If the sheriffs had remained in charge in both of those locations, we would have never heard of David Koresh or Randy Weaver, and the law still would have been enforced and obeyed. Now, when I was a police officer, a rookie cop, I made a huge mistake. I read the Constitution. And I looked at the Constitution on this hand, and I looked at government, what we were doing, on this hand, and there was no resemblance. And I promised myself I would never be on the wrong side again, and I won't. And that promise, 10 years later, came alive when Bill Clinton signed the Brady Bill into law, and I filed a lawsuit 3 months later to stop it. It's all on states' rights. And I went to a constitutional, in closing, I'd like to tell you, I went to a police training called Law Enforcement, Constitutional Studies for Law Enforcement. And I hope some of you know who the instructor was. He died about 2 years ago. He's a mentor and a man I honor very much. And his name was W. Cleon Scalzi. And as a peace officer, I went to this with 240 other peace officers, and he taught me something there, and I would like to leave it with you today as America's political prayer. And you can tell that this is from my heart, and I send it to your heart. And I mean this. I believe without any question that this is America's political prayer. And it goes something like this. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And that's the eagle. Long may she be free.
Now that's a sheriff.